The 2020 Suncorp Super Netball off-season is in full swing, with teams starting to finalise their rosters for 2021, plus a surprise roster announcement over in England. Hello and welcome to the Centre Pass podcast, brought to you by Netball Draft Central. My name is Jared Gardner, and as always, I'm joined by Taylor Mulkey and Sophie Taylor. And it's been another big week in the world of netball. Taylor, I'll start with you. Teams in the Super Netball starting to finalise their squads. A few interesting acquisitions for the Lightning and the Thunderbirds over the past week.
There definitely was. I think it's really good to see the list starting to really take shape. Some were not really surprises. I think we had tipped that the likely move of Mahalia Cassidy to the Lightning. Others were a bit of a surprise, but I'm really excited to see that a lot of young players are kind of getting that opportunity to really ply their trade on the SSN level, which is a really exciting thing for the future of Australian netball.
Yeah, 100%. And Sophie, the news isn't confined to Australia and the Super Netball, with it being announced just in the last 24 hours that over in the Vitality Netball Super League over in England, that Matty Brown is going to head over there for 2021. Is it a two-year deal or a one-year deal? But a very interesting move.
Yeah, it's a huge move and really exciting, not only for Matty Brown, obviously getting another chance, but also for the Super League. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Super League. I already think it's a really great competition and it's shown some really, really great growth, especially over the last few years. And the fact that Maddie's getting over there will actually bring a lot more of that Aussie viewership, hopefully, if we're able to watch it, which we weren't this year, not just because it wasn't played, but also because they didn't have the video rights for us to watch it here. But that's beside the point. It's a really, really exciting move for both Maddie and the competition itself. And it's obviously huge given we all thought that she was retiring and she said today something like, I never actually said retirement. That's what everyone else said. So that's quite funny. So yeah, big
move. Exactly. And that's where we will kick things off. It was a big surprise, as you said, Sophie, and she has come out, as you said, and said, I never used the word retirement. I was putting in subtle hints that I might like to travel and still play. So never technically lied, just flirted with the truth a little bit. So technically, yeah, she didn't lie, but it was a massive surprise to, I think, everyone in the world of netball, because we all just kind of assumed that she was done. She'd had a few knee injuries over the last couple of years that had just kept persisting and didn't allow her to get on the court as much as she would have liked. So I thought it was probably the end, and sadly I thought it was, but it'd be great to see her back out on the court. Taylor, what have you thought about this announcement?
Yeah, I find it a very interesting move and I was quite surprised and also a little bit shocked and almost a tad offended that she let us all go and believe that she was going to retire and then pulled this magic trick out of the hat. Full credit to her. If she thinks she's still got plenty left in her, then why not give it your best shot over in the VNSL and really, you know, change up your lifestyle almost to a certain extent. It's a whole new adventure for her and full credit to Maddie to decide to go down that path. My only concern is, though, she was unable to get through a full season here after having done her ACL at the start of last year. So my only question is really surrounding her well-being and especially clearly her knee and whether or not she can live up to her high expectations and really deliver. And I'm not saying that there's no way she can't, but it is always going to be in the back of your mind. And especially if she was having that persistent niggle throughout this period of time, she only managed a couple of games and I think it was reduced court time. It is almost, yeah, it's an interesting move that they've also given her a two-year contract and given she was unable to play out this entire season. But full credit to Maddie, it's going to be a really exciting chapter. And as you mentioned, Soph, it's really bringing that Aussie crowd over to the VNSL, and we've already seen a number of key players really develop their craft over there, and it's a great league and it's only going to get better when you're bringing in stars like Maddie Brown.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's something that VNSL has almost lacked in the past. They tend to develop their own players really well, and then those players come here, and Australia tends to use the VNSL to develop younger players, or players tend to go over there if they don't necessarily get the opportunity. I think we look at players like, I think it was Sophie Craig was over in the VNSL for a few years. We've got a few young players, Firebirds training partners from last year actually went over for this year's season. So there are some great Aussie athletes already over there, but they're not necessarily the big names that are going to generate those international audiences. And I think this is a great move for the VNSL. Obviously, it helps that the coach of Leeds Rhinos is Dan Ryan, so he is an Aussie. We've also got another Aussie. I can't remember what her name is, Danelle something. She's from Queensland. She's a young player. Yeah, so she's a young player from Queensland who's also going over there. So that's a great help. You're getting another young Aussie in there. And then you look at someone like Jade Clark, who's also signed on there, and Vicky Oyasola from, I think she was at the, where was she at? Lightning or Mavs last season? I can't remember.
Not Mavs, definitely. I think maybe Lightning.
Honestly, correct me if I'm wrong. Either way, she's a great young defender. So you look at those players and they've got a really strong team that's kind of shaping up, and it's really exciting. Obviously, they're a new franchise that's coming through next season. Hopefully, the season will be able to go ahead with England going back into lockdown over the last week or so. So I guess we'll just kind of have to wait and see, but I'm really excited. And I think the funny thing for me as well is she wasn't the player that we were expecting to go over to the UK. We kind of tossed up. We thought maybe Nat Hawthorn-Thwaite. We weren't sure whether she'd stick around with the Swifts. We weren't sure about Chelsea Pittman. I mean, there's still room for players to move, obviously. But yeah, that definitely came out of the blue, and none of us were expecting Maddie. And I think it's really great to see her get to extend her career, hopefully by another 2 years.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's a bit of a low-risk, high-reward situation for the club. And I say that in the sense that Maddie has had her injury troubles over the last couple of years. But even if she doesn't get out on the court as much as they would like, she's still such an experienced head to have around the team. And she almost would act like an on-court coach with some of the young players that they've got coming through. So it's a great signing for Leeds. And I think it will be a very exciting one. And as you both said, it will get a lot of eyes on to the Vitality Netball Super League in 2021, assuming it does all go ahead as planned. So a big signing, a surprise one, but one we're happy to see the career of Maddie Brown continue on for at least another season. Coming back to Australia now and back into the Suncorp Super Netball competition, we touched on it at the beginning. Over the past week, there's been a few signings completed, and ones that we probably expected, a few that we probably didn't. We'll start with the Lightning, and coming off a preliminary final appearance, and the loss of Laura Langman obviously hurt, and we expected this one. Mahalia Cassidy joining from the Queensland Firebirds, and then another one in Kate Shimmin coming over from the Adelaide Thunderbirds. So two pretty big signings and two important ones. Shimmin in terms of depth behind Pretorius and Mullaney, but Cassidy can really take over that starting centre position, and I think we'll do a great job. What do you guys think about these two?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. I mean, I think it's safe to say that all three of us have really liked what Mahalia Cassidy has done, not only in her career so far, but also coming off an ACL injury last year. She got on court this season, and it was like she rarely skipped a beat. She was so impressive. And so I think she's the perfect player to kind of, if there was going to be anyone to replace Langman in that unit, in that particular court, I think it would be Cassidy. I think she's a really great player, and she has a lot of hunt for the ball. And you look at the players behind her as well, she's going to be able to really step up and kind of hold ground, and she's able to be an attacking figure enough that if Laura Sherian isn't quite on, she's able to kind of step up and take the reins there. So I'm really excited about that move. And then I've said it before and I'll say it again, I love Kate Shimmin. I think she's fantastic. And so really, really glad that not only is Shimmin going over there to get another chance, but it also adds that depth to the Lightning, which they really, really lacked this year. So I think it's a really, really smart two, like, significant signings for the Lightning.
I'll piggyback on the back of that and say that the fact that Kate Shimmon is just that really energetic and powerful figure, I think sometimes she can get overshadowed by some of the big names that, you know, do all this fancy stuff. But Shimmon is just a real workhorse, and I think that the Lightning really need that. They need to kind of just go back and allow their players to just do their job, and I think that's exactly what Shimmon does. And like you said, she'll be a really good depth player, but also you know that she can challenge for that starting position. She can play both goalkeeper and goal defense, and I think that the Lightning really lacked that this year. They were almost one-dimensional in that defensive unit, that it was either going to be Pumza Moeni or Carla Pretorius. And as harsh as it might sound, it wasn't likely that Annika Lee-Jones was going to get the start, or even the youngster in Ash Uni was going to get the start. So you knew that that defensive end was going to be Pretorius and Moeni. And while they're a strong and really dominant combination, they also proved to give away quite a few penalties, and the cracks started to show when, especially against the Fever, when they were getting that ball in really easily. So having someone like Shimmon, who's so versatile, she can play that dogged style of defense or play that aerial role, will actually really complement them and give them such variety. And I'm really excited to see what they can do there, because she's also strong through that transitional play, and I think at times they've lacked that. And with Langman gone, clearly Cassidy is now going to fill that role, and she's a formidable force in doing that. But having someone like Shimmon also driving the ball through the middle corridor is really exciting. So some really big key signings, like you guys already touched on, but also it's more changing that game style to have that added versatility and that just, you know, adaptability, which is really key to the, I'd say, side's success this year.
Yeah, and I think it really primes them just for another run at finals and being one of the absolute top teams in the competition, re-signing Kara Konen and Steph Wood as well, and also Ashley Uni being promoted to the Lightning squad, as she's been a training partner for a few years now. And I think internally she's really highly rated. She's 24 years old and has been playing in the ANL and done a great job at both goal defense and wing defense over the last couple of years. So that's one that I think we all really like as well, because she's a young player that has come up through the pathway and again has nothing to lose, like we've seen with so many other players of the like. So what do you guys think of Uni getting promoted?
I'm really excited to see her rewarded for her efforts throughout the 2020 season. We only got to see her for a short amount of time, but when she came out on court, she came out with a purpose and she was really strong. She didn't allow the occasion to overawe her. She just came on, stepped up to the plate, and that intercept she took where she virtually, you know, turned herself inside out, it was just really impressive. So to think that she's clearly going to get more game time, more court time, hopefully, but also learning off the likes of Shimmon and Pretorius is only going to aid her game even further. So it's another really exciting player for the Lightning. And I think you can start to see that now they've changed. This might sound a little bit critical, but they had really a lot of older heads throughout the court. Now they're kind of getting that younger depth to really filter through in Cassidy and Konen and now Uni as well. So it's just like that next generation of players coming through, which will be another positive for them. And like you touched on there, Jared, it's priming them again for another strong season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also with Uni, I think it's going to be a real huge confidence boost for her, because it was almost like every time she got out onto the court this season, she needed to prove herself, because she knew that she's already got these huge fixtures out in front of her. I mean, she kind of, like you've touched on, she's a wing defense, goal defense, and they had two wing defenders this season, and they have a huge goal defense in Carla Pretorius. And so she knows that she's not going to get much of that court time, so she's going to take every single opportunity she has. And she really showcased that, and I think that was what really gave her that boost to be able to get this elevation coming into next season. So hopefully when she takes the court, or hopefully takes the court next season, she'll be able to bring that same hunt and determination to kind of pull off those excellent kind of performances. So yeah, that's really exciting for her.
Yeah, it definitely is. And now moving on to Adelaide, and the Thunderbirds made a couple of signings just in recent days. And bringing over two young Victorians in Matilda Garrett and Elle McDonald. Garrett coming from the Magpies, McDonald coming from the Vixens. These are two that I think everyone on the surface, they look like great signings. Garrett, obviously, it was a bit of a baffling call when the Magpies decided to let her go, and I think we'll get on to her replacement in a little bit. But Elle McDonald's one that when she came on during the season for the Vixens was incredibly impressive, and replacing the likes of Liz Watson and Kate Maloney in those centre and wing attack positions, did a great job, and both of those players will bring a great deal to the Thunderbirds in 2021.
I could talk about Elle McDonald all day. She really, really impressed me last year when I saw her in the ANL and the M League. And so for her to step up this year, I was like, yes, Elle. She was just really consistent, and you could always expect her to come on and play her role fairly seamlessly. She really, really impressed me. And even though I'm going to be devo to not see her at the Vixens next season, it actually is a really, really great move for her. She has a real chance of kind of almost inching in there and trying to nab a starting spot, which is really, really huge for her career, given this was her first year as being a training partner. She's got a really good experienced head on her shoulders, and that's a really, really exciting move for her. And then obviously you look at Tilly Garrett. Again, like we've said, it was kind of a baffling move by the Magpies to not keep her on. And I kind of think maybe it's to do with salary capping or something, because obviously they've got another international coming over in Khalifa McCollin. But also, like, it's a good move for Garrett to go over to Thunderbirds. She's a really great defender. And I mean, obviously she has plenty of skill where she can kind of come on and be almost a game changer at times. She's had her slow points, but she can also have those really big peaks. And learning off someone like Shamira Sterling and Layla Guscoth, if she's still there, could be huge for her development too.
In terms of Elle McDonald, I think it's a really interesting move. They've kind of gone with all of those bigger bodied mid-quarters, which is really interesting considering they don't have the most speed, but they're just strong and they have great precision, which is really exciting, because I suppose they've kind of got the speed in Georgie Horgis, which who you would assume would get that starting goal attack position. So for someone like Elle McDonald to make the move and for them to recognise just her sheer strength and just her netball nous, and almost like you touched on, Soph, the fact she's just such an experienced head despite still being so young and only in her, you know, debut season, is a really exciting thing for her. And then in terms of Matilda Garrett, it's still a really interesting question for me, because you would imagine if the Adelaide Thunderbirds remain or keep Layla Guscoth, that she 9 times out of 10 would still be getting that starting position. So it's interesting to see how much court time she will get. She clearly had limited time this season sitting behind Jodie Anne Ward for large chunks of time. But for me, I'm a bit concerned that that's going to be the same thing again this year. I hope I'm wrong, or next year I should say. I hope I'm wrong, because I really enjoy what Garrett brings to the table, and she's just I think she would really grow further if she was able to get consistent court time and really just iron out any issues she has and really develop her craft. Jared, what are your thoughts?
I think it's probably a bad period to be a young Australian defender, because I think the Super Netball competition is, I wouldn't say flooded, but a lot of those starting roles in defence are filled by international players. And you can look at a club like the Firebirds, who have got two young Aussies in their defensive circle, but mostly across the board, it's a lot of international players. And while that's great to see and we love having those players in the league, if you're Matilda Garrett at the moment, you're probably saying, well, where does my opportunity come from? Because there's no club where she can look at and say, maybe I will be the starting goal defence or goalkeeper, whichever position she does prefer. Adelaide, I think, is a good deal for her. And I think she can play a good role there. Obviously, with Kate Shimmer's departure, there is a spot there. But, yeah, breaking into a defensive circle with Sterling and Guscoth, it's going to be tough. But they've obviously sold it to her, and I think she'll do a great job when she does get on the court. And McDonald is one that Has been a revelation over the past year. She's did a great job for the Vixens when she came on, as I said earlier. And yeah, it's all looking good for the Thunderbirds. We said this in our season review. They've just been slowly building over the last couple of years, and they're almost ready to take that step to becoming a finals contender and really challenging the top sides in the Super Netball competition. Now, just finally, in terms of player signing news, we did touch on it with Garrett leaving the Magpies. Jackie Newton has been signed as the replacement and coming over from the Vixens once again. So a lot of Super Netball clubs looking at the Vixens youngsters. Obviously, they're doing a good job with them. Newton, probably not on the same level as Garrett, but still a good option and will play a good role for them when she does come onto the court in 2021.
Yeah, I'm really interested in this one because clearly for Newton, this is the smarter decision because she has clearly been offered an actual contract with the Magpies, whereas she would have been a training partner at the Vixens. I, like you said, I think that Garrett was probably a more primed player who can jump on court and you can rely on her being able to put out a consistent performance. Jackie Newton, we've seen patches of her here and there, but it hasn't really been enough to say, yes, she's going to be able to come on for a full game or a half game and be able to ply her trade. So that's a really intriguing move for the Magpies. I'm interested to see what the go will be for the Vixens now, whether or not they bring up another, like whether they, because she was just a training partner at the Vixens, so I wonder what they'll do there. Basically, she's been a training partner with the Vixens for maybe three seasons now, maybe even more, so that's really interesting. But overall, yeah, it's a bit of a baffling change on, yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll second that thought in terms of it's a bit of an interesting one. I could understand if Collingwood were potentially going for another more experienced goal defence, that you were like, okay, we might bring over X, Y, and Z. She'll just be able to provide that consistency or that star power or whatever it be. But then to have someone like Tilly Garrett, who has been a servant to the club, she's been primed and noted as a really developing player. She's clearly got that connection with Jeeva Mentor more so, and those types of things. And then to bring in someone like Jackie Newton, who is clearly still very young, still learning to ply her trade, has had very limited SSN minutes and, you know, is still developing. It kind of confuses me as to why that decision would be made. And that's no reflection on her gameplay, more of a question on the thought process behind choosing Newton over Garrett. But in saying that, clearly Newton has shown that she has what it takes to step up to the plate, and good on her for taking the opportunity with open arms and saying, you know what, I'm here to play netball and this is what I can deliver. And it's going to be a really exciting, she's going to be a really exciting player for Collingwood next year. And I think the main thing with the Pies heading into next season is that it's going to just be young players across the court. So I'm really interested to see who takes the helm and how they really develop and nurture those young up and coming players. Because if you look at the likes of Jovic and now Newton, there's a number of players that could potentially go forward as Diamond's future if, you know, they're given that opportunity. So it's going to be a very interesting season as a whole.
Yeah, it will be. And I think you touched on it, the coaching aspect of it. The Firebirds and the Magpies now have finalised their rosters of 10 for 2021 without a head coach. So it will be interesting to see who does go into those roles and how that does play out, because, I think, it's just going to be a strange one with having a whole roster and having signed on these players without a head coach that has been able to help with those decisions. So we'll see how that does go. Finally, in terms of Suncorp Super Netball news, there has been an announcement in the last week that the Australian Netball League will be replaced by the Australian Netball Championships in 2021. So it won't be a league that is run alongside the Suncorp Super Netball competition. It'll be a tournament-style format, which is looking at being in a single location over 1 to 2 weeks. This is a bit of a disappointing one for me. I don't know about the two of you, but the A&L has produced so many great young players over the last couple of years, and yeah, it's disappointing. I can understand from a financial perspective why this change does need to be made, but yeah, very disappointing. Taylor, I might go to you first. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I kind of second those thoughts in that it is really disappointing. And like you touched on, clearly this year, a lot of organisations have been really hit with the COVID-19 pandemic, and it's taken, you know, a financial strain on a lot of organisations and things like that. But from a netball fan base point of view and a development point of view for Australian netball, I think it's really disappointing to see the A&L being scrapped. Clearly, they're going to market it in a way with this the Australian Netball Championship that the young players will still get a chance, but it feels a little bit like a round robin type of style, and it doesn't feel like a full season where, you know, you can really see these players week in, week out. They develop, they learn, and all those bits and bobs that come along with it. A two-week tournament is not the same as a season, and not to mention, it's just the way in which it's kind of being played, because I think there's a lot of SSN players are allowed to play in it or something along those lines. So it's not really giving those young up-and-coming players a chance. We touched on Jackie Newton. She was one of those players. You look at Ali Smith, another one of those players. Al McDonald, another one of those players. They got their chance through the A&L. That's how they, you know, took that next step up. So what's going to happen to the development of these players? And I've thoroughly enjoyed watching the A&L. I think that it's a really good glimpse of the players coming up through the ranks, and it's clearly a great honour for those players that do get the chance to step out on court. Overall, I'm a bit disappointed that that's what it's come to, and I am a little bit concerned about what that means for the future of Australian netball. But at the same time, I can understand the reasoning behind why they had to do what they had to do, because financially, clearly, they're really struggling. And what can you do if that's the case?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like I'm just reiterating what you've already said. I'm also really frustrated by it. I think it's not quite as crucial for other countries to have these pathways programs when you've got those players able to step straight up into their respective competitions. But in a country like Australia, where we have the greatest competition in the world, the Suncorp Super Netball, and all the internationals flock here, we actually can't afford to not have players coming up through the ranks and having that A&L pathway. And so obviously we'll still have individual state-based pathways, presumably back next season. It's really disappointing to see that that's something that's scrapped. Obviously, again, it's a financial decision. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have A&L again in the future, but those players need that court time. And I mean, we obviously had a different thing this year when teams were playing multiple times a week, so they were able to kind of rotate players a little bit more. But when we go back to a regular SSN season, one game a week, the players that don't get court time are not going to get court time unless they're playing state-based pathways. And that's really not good enough, personally. And I mean, you think of, there's obviously not a heap of international players who sit on the bench. The player that comes to mind is Katie Underhaney. If she's not playing V&L, she shouldn't be playing V&L because she's an international player, but she was allowed to play A&L. How is she going to get court time if she doesn't play for the Vixens? And it's things like that where it feels like that kind of thing hasn't been taken into consideration. And that's not to say it hasn't, but yeah, the two-week competition just does not seem a viable option to kind of maintain the continued development of these players. And it's something that's really, really required and clearly is not going to happen. So it's disappointing. We understand why it's happening, doesn't mean we're happy about it.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. And we'll just, yeah, wait and see how it does play out in 2021. Now, just finally, before we do wrap up, the Tiny Jameson Trophy series has been completed over in New Zealand, and it was the Silver Ferns who won it pretty emphatically 3-0 in the end. And the last game was a bit of a blowout, 62-47. To be fair, it was a sort of weakened Roses side, so that probably does give them a little bit of an excuse, but overall a pretty dominant display from the Silver Ferns.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Ferns roster there compared to the Roses roster. Ferns had a complete side of all their significant players, and the Roses, they had Serena Guthrie and Jade Clark, and those were really the only two mainstays who were regularly in the Roses side. And then you look at Serena Guthrie, who went down with an ankle injury during her 100th test match in the second game and then didn't play in the last one. So there's clearly a contribution there, which is why the match was blown out in the last one. But overall, I actually thought it was a really great showing from England. And I think New Zealand, especially with the results coming out of the second match, New Zealand really need to watch out. And realistically, the Aussies do too, knowing how young that squad is and how little test caps they had, apart from obviously the most capped player in England netball, Jade Clark and Serena Guthrie. Apart from those two players, they were very young. And I mean, players like George Fisher stood up, Sophie Drakeford-Lewis, Razia Quashie, I really, really liked her back in goalkeeper. You've got some really great names in there who are coming up through the ranks, and they are really formidable players and will definitely be something to watch. So England, to their credit, were quite competitive, and the scorelines of each match kind of didn't necessarily match the closeness of the contest. And so, yeah, New Zealand were great, no doubt about that. But yeah, New Zealand were actually really, really impressive, regardless of the scorelines.
Did you mean to say the Roses were really, really impressive despite the scoreline?
Yes, I did.
That's what I figured. That's what I figured you meant. I'll agree with that, because I do think that, again, the youth coming through the English pathways is a really exciting prospect. Clearly, even having George Fisher come out now to join the Southern Steel next season is going to just add another layer to her game. She already showcased how strong she can be, but getting used to that New Zealand style of zone defense is a whole nother ball game. And if she can ride that wave, then she is definitely going to be a formidable force under the post, even more so than what she is at the moment. And the fact that there was no Jeeva Mentor, no Layla Gusketh, Chelsea Pittman, Nat Haythornthwaite, Joe Hart and Helen Housby, and the Roses still managed to deliver such a strong performance is really, really impressive. However, I will say that credit where credit's due, New Zealand deserved to win all three of those games. They put out really strong performances. And you've got to also remember, they're now trying to fill the hole that was left by the great Laura Langman. That's no easy feat. You've kind of got to find out who is going to do all of that work. She pretty much ran the up and down the entire court like it was, you know, a morning stroll. And they've kind of still trying to find that link between the defensive and attacking thirds. But they've had a number of players really step up to the mark. And I think that Claire Kirsten is one to look out for. I think she's 31 or something like that. But this is the first time that she was officially selected in the New Zealand Silver Ferns squad. And she's a really exciting player to watch. And Maya Wilson, for me, was another one that really lifted her game. Clearly, there's no Maria Folau, and they've still been searching for that player to wear that goal shooter bib. And I think that Wilson really put her hand up there. She was extremely accurate under the post, and she showcased her range. She wasn't afraid to shoot from that little bit further out, and was a really, really exciting player to watch. So I think Australia should kind of be wary of what the other nations are doing at the moment, because there's just a plethora of players coming through, and there's no shortage of game changers across the country. Or across the world, I should say.
Yeah, definitely a lot of positives to take out for both sides. And even though it was a 3-0 sweep to the Silver Ferns, the Roses can take a lot out of the young players coming through. That is all we have time for this week on the Centre Pass podcast. We will be back next week as the player transfer news does continue to trickle through, and teams do finalise their rosters for 2021. Do go follow us on Twitter at CentrePassPod, and do go to netball.drivecentral.com.au for all your world netball news and reviews, and we'll speak to you next week.